You know, a quick story, and just a follow-up. Was it last week when I told you about the homeless ministry called the Light House? And do you remember? So if you can just indulge me just to say it again for our guests, and I'll just tell you a little follow-up to the story. We partner with Tiglin Challenge to run what we call the Lighthouse, and also with Dublin Christian Mission. We're like a trinity of partners doing a work in the city centre. And basically, the team engages with probably 100 people that are in the area of homelessness or addiction, et cetera, et cetera. And every Tuesday, they are in there, and other days, but Tuesday is one of the key days from 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock. If you want to be part of that, see Sean or see one of the team here. But it is a tremendous place, and you go in and people are engaging with people that are living on the streets or living in hostels. There's always a great, possibly a great curry, a great coddle. Not everyone knows what a coddle is. Do you want to put your hand up? Do you know what a coddle is? My goodness, there's loads that just never tasted a coddle. It's a Dublin thing, I believe, but maybe we'll bring one out one day. But anyway, So the guys are always engaging, but one of our team told us a story, and I told the church last week, and then I was just in RD Street this morning. I had to go to an early meeting, and I asked the guy, what's the story with the fella that was homeless? And so here's the story. It'd be 3 weeks ago now, but this man was coming in to the Lighthouse, and probably coming in for a short while, but the team was engaging with him, and he was a rough sleeper. He was sleeping in the same place, and with cardboard over him, would you believe it? I thought it was a sleeping bag, but it was cardboard. And so anyway, he's been up in Dublin a long, long time, but his family were down in Limerick. His name is like, let's say, I gave you another name last week, but let's say Michael Caine, like the actor. So this guy, Michael Caine, was homeless in Dublin for a long, long, long time. But back down in Limerick, there was this young guy that volunteered to help homeless people. This is how the connection was made with someone in Dublin. He was volunteering for homeless, helping homeless people somewhere like Wexford. He got talking to people that had worked in Dublin. And he says, my dad is somewhere in Dublin. He's homeless, and his name is Michael Caine. And he says, would you believe I met, this guy has told them that they met a Michael Caine that was rough sleeping in Dublin. And so this 18-year-old boy came up to Dublin to find his father. So they're out on the streets. He's walking around the streets with a Polish lad. All the blanks are being filled in as I keep asking about this story. All about the Polish lads. They see a man like underneath cardboard, no sleeping bag. And the young 18-year-old went over to fix like the cardboard over the guy so he'd be warm during the night. The Polish lad said, don't go near that man because he might think it's someone robbing him, da 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 da. So anyway, he didn't go near him, but he's around in the same time, place, next night, and he sees the same guy with a sleeping bag over him. Or not with a sleeping bag, with the cardboard half over him, and he went over to fix him up, and your man said, what are you doing? And he says, I'm just fixing you because you're going to be freezing. And he says, but I'm really looking for my dad. My dad's name is Michael Caine. And the man says, I'm Michael Caine, I'm your dad. Can you believe this? Like, this young lad came all the way up. So anyway, the next, that was Sunday. Monday, they came into the Lighthouse, and Michael Caine introduced the son who came to find him in Dublin and found him. And I says to Derek, our worker, I says, well, what's the rest of the story? This is just on the way out. That Monday, the Lighthouse gave them one sleeping bag. That's what they had. And the two, the father and son, slept out at the GPO. Underneath the one sleeping bag, talking about life. The last time this man seen his son was like over 17 years ago when he was 3 months old. And here they were engaging at this level because of the Lighthouse and the people that serve. And when I said the Lighthouse, I've seen lots of people like shaking their heads like, you know, or you served there. Who has served in the Lighthouse? There's one. Anyone else? Two? Anyone else? Guys, can we, there's someone else that's shy because someone's pointing at somebody and they're not putting up their hand. But like, guys, can I just say thank you on behalf of Liberty Church and on behalf of that family that's been reconciled. Like, it's like maybe next week there'll be another part of the story. But like, lads, can we just give these a round of applause and just thank you for serving our city, our people. And so here's for the next 15 minutes. If you will indulge me, I just want to encourage you and bring something from the Word of God. You know, Somebody said, a man called Arthur Ward said, that if you flatter me, I may not believe you. If you criticize me, I may not like you. If you ignore me, I may not forgive you. But if you encourage me, I'll never forget you. And I want to take a moment to encourage you. William Gladstone, famous politician, and Benjamin Disraeli, 2 times Prime Minister of England. Great men, great powerful politicians, great men in their own right. A young girl was interviewing them both on different occasions. And someone asked her, well, how did you feel when you came away from each of these men? She says, when I was with William Gladstone, I came away thinking, he's the cleverest man in all of England. She says, when I was with Benjamin Disraeli, I came away thinking that I was the most cleverest woman in all of England. And I want you to leave here in some way encouraged, inspired, hopefully, to be all that you can be. And this is what we want for Daniel. And this is what we prayed for Daniel. Isn't this what we've seen in the little video? A baby starting off. What will their life entail? What will be in their life? What will come into their world? How will they handle the things that will come into their little world? Who's going to be around them? Who's going to support them? Who's going to tell them they're great? Who's going to tell Daniel that it's not like we're the most cleverest, but we want you to know how clever and how brilliant and how much of the genius of God is wrapped up in this little boy called Daniel. And yet we can live our lives and come to whatever age we're at and forget it. Life comes with all of its greatness and all of its madness at times. And the dreams and the plans somehow get lost along the way. And I just want to encourage you to wherever you're at in life, wherever your dreams were, wherever God has put in your hearts, to go for it. To somehow be able to shake off the doom and gloom. Shake off even the success if it's robbing you of what you really, really desire in your heart. Amen? And here's the scriptures that the Lord has given. So I don't want to flatter you. I don't want to give you a pep talk. I want to speak to you from the Word of God. Because this is truth and this is liberating. And the Bible is not just some history book that gathers dust. It's not just something that God has given us to read about history, but it tells us about how God operates and how God deals with people and how much God loves people. It's a running commentary of what God does, and if he's done it in this scriptures, he will do it again and again and again. Maybe it looks different in the 21st century, but will have the same outcomes. Just a little bit of history before I read this scripture. The people of God brought out of Egypt, you can imagine the enormity of being brought from out under 400 years of tyranny, brought out into a desert. We're going to die here. The Egyptians are coming. The Israelites, the Hebrews are in the middle, and the sea in front of them. How are we going to get out of this? You know, good starts is a good start, and it doesn't matter whether you had a good start or a bad start in life, or a middle good or a middle bad. You know, what really matters is what we're leaving behind at the end. And these guys, you know, you can imagine the highs and lows and the roller coaster of life that they were brought through. Now the sea opens and they walk on dry ground, up into a place, because God had promised them a land of their own. He promised them something. And if God promises something, he has the wares to be able to bring to pass what he promises. He's not like man that should make a promise and not fulfill. He's God, and every promise that he makes, he fulfills. And there's times in their life, in the Hebrews' life, that they probably thought that wasn't true. There's times when he brought them in and he established them in their own land, and he told them that if you keep going down a certain path, that's going to have consequences. And sure enough, they went down certain paths and they went after other gods, and God says, look, I told you there's a consequence for these things. And one of the consequences that happened was they were brought into captivity again. Now they were in Babylon and they were downtrodden after knowing freedom, after knowing living the dream, after being in Jerusalem, knowing the presence of God, and now they're in captivity again. The people that are left behind in Israel are people that are considered weaker, and the younger ones who are considered weaker, and everyone in between that was taken off into captivity for their strength or for their intellect or for whatever skills they had, but now according to like man, that just the elderly and the young was just left in between. So they knew everything, and yet the dreams that God had for them and put in their heart, now they are in captivity. And you can translate this into so many different situations. A couple of, probably 2 or 3 years ago, I was speaking on radio. I was asked to speak on, would you believe it? It was, I won't even tell you where it was. But anyway, it was to do something on the John Murray show. And they gave me 1 minute to speak a message from the Bible. Would you believe it? And this is the message I spoke. 1 minute. You think you're getting away with 1 minute? You have another thing coming, honey. He says to me, could you speak the message of Christ for 1 minute? I says, now you believe in miracles. You're going to get a preacher to shut up after 1 minute. But it was in the time when, just after the bubble burst and everybody, it wasn't just immediately after the Celtic Tiger went out with a whimper. It was a year or two into this where people were feeling the effects of this, where people, business people that we read about that was had lost so much that were committing suicide. Untold measures being taken to claw money back into the coffers of the government and all types of things. And it was like we were living the dream. We were like kids with a load of money that didn't know how to spend it. And when that burst, we hit a place like where I'm going to read right now. We know this psalm maybe from a famous song by Boney M. Anyone remember it? Do you want to sing it? By the rivers of Babylon. When you hear this, where we the ladies love it. Yeah. When we read. Well, that wasn't Boney M that came up with that. This is a scripture, right? And all you guys, where's all the bikers? I thought you would have been really into that. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplar trees we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said to us, sing to us the songs of Zion. And we replied, how can we sing the songs of the Lord while we're in captivity in a foreign land? So here they were in captivity. Not only in captivity. Not only were they down on themselves. Not only had they hit rock bottom, but their enemies, their tormentors were coming in and saying, hey, sing the songs of your Lord. Where's your God now? Where's your songs now that you were singing when you were in Jerusalem? So it's one thing losing your hope and dream. And here's how we know they lost their hopes and dreams. They hung up their instruments. There was nothing now to sing about. We started off well. We had a good innings at one time, but now we're in captivity weeping. And not only are we weeping, their song is gone. The song that we wanted to sing, the song that we would sing in Jerusalem, it's all gone. Where is God? They're right. Where is our God in all of this? Are we hopeless? Are we abandoned? Where's the dreams that God had for us? Can I tell you guys that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives? Now, we're no mistake, we're no happenstance, we're not someone that came from the goo to the zoo to you. That's not what God's word says. And God's design for you is that he has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. But what happens when you've lost it? What happens when you're in captivity? What happens when you've let it go? What happens when your song is gone? What happens when your enemies are coming saying, sing me your song, come on, you're the one that talked a big game a while ago. Now you start thinking, yeah, where is God? Where is them dreams? Where is the purposes of God in my life? Has God abandoned us? Has God forsaken us? Is there no hope? Amazingly, back in Jerusalem, God had raised up a prophet with a great voice. His name was Jeremiah. He was an incredible prophet in this way. The scholars described him as the weeping prophet. Like he felt God's heart for his people. He felt God's heart for the pain that was going on in the lives of his people. Not just someone standing up and spouting off some old rhetoric. but someone who carried the very heart of God for people. And there's a difference. And he's in Jerusalem and God speaks to him. And in Jeremiah 29:11, the context of Jeremiah 29 is that God says to him, I want you to speak a word to those who are in captivity in Babylon. So these are at the reverse. These are hung up their harp. These have hung up their guitars. They've hung up their drums, whatever they played. And they're like, we've nothing going for us. The dream of God is dead. The hope of God is dead. Whatever God had for me is now long gone. Meanwhile, God is at work. And he speaks to the prophet Jeremiah. And he says, send a runner. Which is always good, isn't it? I'm sure Jeremiah says, you run with it. Because there was a long way. There was a big distance between them. He says, write this down, send a runner with it to proclaim it to the people that are in captivity. And it's all summed up and hinged on Jeremiah 29:11. So they go down and they're all in discouragement and dismayed, confused. And the runner comes and opens up the scroll. This is what God says. I said that really good, didn't I? Use it on look real serious. Maybe I should stand up here and say it. It was one thing to say, this is what Noel says or Rob says. Or this is what the elders in Jerusalem says. That carries weight. Or this is what the young people are saying. That carries weight. Because just look at every revolution in the world has ever begun. So it carries weight. But he stands up and he says, this is what God says. For I know the plans I have for you, declares God. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. Now you can imagine you're the one sitting down and you probably are sitting here today. You're probably looking around our city and our nation, our towns, our communities, the Europe, the world and going, is there any hope? Is there a future? Look at the news and the news will tell us, man, if this is going to be our future, we need to pray for our kids even more. But if that's all there is, well, then we might as well hang up our instruments. But it's not all there is. Because God says still today, for I know the plans I have for you. Declares Noel, no, declares God. I know the plans I have for Bray, declares Noel, no, declares God. I know the plans I have for Ireland, declares God. I know the plan I have for Europe, declares God. Because God has a plan and has a purpose. And I don't know what's in your heart, but I just want to tell you this. God still says there's a future in that. Doesn't matter what comes into your life. Can you imagine the man sleeping outside that GPO? No hope, no future, nothing. And then his son comes up and he's thinking there is a future. Or the businessman that has lost, or the developer that has lost, or the people that have given themselves over to all types of addiction. There's no hope. And God says, no, there is. And I want to bring that to pass. And what the people said, what God said in verse 12, if you seek me, I'll be found by you. How will you know the plan of God? Sounds very mysterious. God says, you just seek me and I'll tell you what that is. You will feel it. You will know it. Why does the guys go down to the homeless lighthouse? Because there's something in them, not only just a heart to reach out to people, but to see things put right in their lives. Some things that you might be angry about is the very things that you have an answer for that God has given to you or will give to you. It's God who has a plan. Ephesians 2:10 says this, you are God's workmanship. Now God has prepared works for you to do in advance. Even before the foundation of the world, God had your name, had your date of birth, had the color of your eyes, had your mission, had your plan and purpose already. And he creates you and he fits you right in to where he wants you to be. And what I want to encourage us to do is to go for it. Whatever it is. Doesn't matter what's come in. Doesn't matter who's come in. It doesn't matter if you've given stuff away. Lord, I want this plan. I want this purpose. I want to live out my life for you. Full stop, Lord. On the 22nd of March, 1989, on a Tuesday evening at 9:40 in the National Stadium, I said a simple prayer. I was 22, about 3 years ago. I can see people with their glasses going, is he all right? 22, I felt I had the world on my shoulders. I lived in a community where we had buried over 300 young men and women of HIV/AIDS and drug addiction. Two of them were my brothers. Thought the weight of the world was upon us. I thought if God was real, he wouldn't want anything to do with this community. We were causing havoc around our city. And in the midst of all this madness, one young man came in and said, God is real. You know what we were thinking? God is real. His name was Fin O'Finley. He was a heroin addict whose life was transformed like in the blink of an eye. So it wasn't only words. We could see before us that this young man's life had totally changed. And not just that he was off drugs. There's many things that can get you off drugs. But only Jesus can give you eternal life. So it wasn't just that he was off drugs. He carried something. It was like a light. He was like a torchbearer. And he was going around these flats where doom and gloom ruled and reigned and hopelessness. The only songs we sang was that famous funeral song. Did you ever know you're my hero? We ever hear that song again? We didn't hear songs of hope, of deliverance, of the goodness of God, of the mercy of God. But this one young man, fearless. And one by one, up to 40 of us, said, I want the plan of God. Did we know the Bible? No. Were we churchgoers? No. But the reality of God and him coming into our world, there's a lot of communicating going on here. I'll wrap up now. Mick said this to me, Finno, his name was Michael. But Mick said this to me, Noel, if you want to know God is real, ask him to show himself to you. And you know what he did? And I just so appreciated him for this. He put it back onto a God who was able to deliver what he says. I'll show you I'm real. Jeremiah, are they just words that you've sent to encourage us? Jeremiah was sent with a word from God for, and on the other end of that word was for God to get them out of captivity. Or else it was just words, and it wasn't. So I say to you today, go for what God has put in you. At least today, think of a decision. Or ask God to convince you to make the decision to say, yes, I want your plan. Very quickly, my friend says to me, ask God, he'll show you if he's real. Don't know whether I ever told you this story. That Saturday, I worked in a bookies for 6 years. And my manager says, I was in Ringsend, don't be late. This day is really important now, don't be late. I gets down at 9 o'clock. I didn't have to be in until 10 o'clock. Gets down at the bus stop at the Metropole at the end of Pierce Street, if anyone remembers, the number 3 bus, notorious for being late. I got there at 9, didn't have to be in until 10. I get there and there's loads of people at the bus stop. And I'm like, oh no, this bus is not coming. The buses are late. So I stood there for a few minutes. I remembered what my friend says to me, ask God to show you he's real. God, would you please send a bus around the corner? Like I was desperate. That would have convinced me in itself. And you may say, if I tell you the rest of the story, I said a bus came around the corner, you go, duh. There was 3, a Jew, by the way. We'd missed 2 and there was another one. I'm standing there, God, if you're real, show me that you're real, send a bus around the corner. With that, I'm standing beside this girl with that a red BMW, which red is one of my favorite colors, and I love BMW cars, pulls up. And the girl says to me, that fella wants you. And I goes, he doesn't want me. I don't know anyone in a red BMW. He must want you. And your man was like, come here, pointing at me. So I goes over and I look seeing. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were someone else. He says, where are you going, by the way? I says, Ringsend. He says, hop in, I'll give you a lift. I want to tell you, God didn't send me a bus. He sent me a chauffeur. A personal chauffeur in a red BMW brought me to work that morning. I jumped in the car. I had no idea about Christianity other than what my friend told me. And I jumped in and I could not help but say thank you, Jesus. Because I know what I asked and I know what was brought from God. And I just want to finish with this. You ask him. You ask him. He's big enough, strong enough, lovely enough, great enough, majestic enough to show you exactly what will communicate to you that he is real. Let's pray. Will you stand with me as we pray? You've been sitting for a while. Father, we thank you for this day. And we do indeed are reminded, just in the day that is in it for Daniel, we're reminded of him starting out in life. And what a way to start out with a great mom and dad, a great family, and a great church family, and a great community. We just, it's a huge, huge thing to us, Lord God. Even this day, Lord God, is the dreams and the hopes, the plans and the purposes you have for Daniel. And we bless them. And we say, Daniel, may you not miss one dot of it. That you'd have such wisdom and such courage to follow God. But he also reminds us in this dedication that God has a plan and purpose for us. And no matter what has happened, what's come along the way, God's plan has not changed for you. It's not changed. And he's reaching out even in this day, even in this very room, and touching your heart. Letting you know, even the fact that I'm here saying this is letting you know, God's still in control. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. God can reach into prison cells and penthouse suites. He can do it all. He can reach the prince and the prostitute. There's nobody out beyond his reach. And I pray that you would be encouraged enough to go after what God has put in your heart. And I pray over you, may God bless you. May God keep you. May God cause his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And he does grant you his shalom, his peace that brings completeness and wholeness to body, to mind, to soul, the Spirit, in Jesus' name. And we say amen and amen. Will you please stay with us? And we're going to have some refreshments just in next door. There's been lots of stuff being prepared. And so please stay with us. And then hopefully we'll see you again soon. God bless.